This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thursday morning. If you can believe it, it's already Thursday morning. It feels like this week has gone so fast, but I was saying earlier on the show that I took the advantage of Wednesday. I didn't want it to be a wasteful Wednesday. Sometimes it's a lazy Wednesday because I'm tired, but I decided that I would do the yard work before any rain shows up. There's supposed to be some rain. Do the yard work, do some laundry, get the kitchen cleaned up, do some other housework, and then grocery shopping on the way home from work this morning to feel like I am set for another football weekend to kick off, because they start to come fast and furious. And as someone noted on the phones earlier, and as I've mentioned, we're about 2 weeks away. Actually, this time in 2 weeks, or let me look at my phone. This time in 3 weeks, checking in the calendar, we will now be talking about what would have happened the night before, which is the National League wild card game. So we're right on the cusp of October. October is coming, you guys. It's crazy how fast things start to move this time of the year in sports. And so to that end, as we've talked about these waning regular season games that are in front of us here, the wild card races in Major League Baseball are fascinating. And I don't want to say that they're coming down to this or that, but if we continue on the path that we're on, it's kind of crazy what we're looking at in the American League. Now, again, there are other teams that are part of the race, so it's not just these three. But it could boil down to, because these three teams are the best, it could boil down to a trio of American League East contenders for two wild card spots. Right now, the A's are still in the mix. They're only 3.5 games out of that second wild card. And the Mariners, who lost to the Red Sox on the West Coast last night, they are now 4 games out. For all intents and purposes, not only are those the only American League teams that are above 500, but for all intents and purposes, in addition to the division leaders, sorry, just to clarify in case you don't know what I mean, those teams are the ones that are competing. So if you broaden the scope, it's 5 teams for 2 spots. But right now, there is a virtual 3-way tie among the Blue Jays, the Yankees, and the Red Sox for 1 or 2 wild card availability, for 2 wild card spots there. It's kind of nutso. And then if you think about the National League, there was a time for a while where it looked as though it would be 3 teams from the NL West. So the division winner and then 2 teams that would end up in the wild card. The Padres are still in the mix, but they've fallen off. They did beat the Giants on Wednesday night, but the Cardinals swept the Mets, actually. And so the Cardinals now are in that second wild card spot, looking way, 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 way down the road at the Dodgers, who have run away with it. So whether it's Dodgers or Giants who end up in that wild card, they're the ones who are going to host. And then it'll be called Cardinals, Padres, Reds are still in it, Phillies, and the Mets, though, the Phillies and Mets, their chances are waning a bit now, too. And so the fact that the Mets got swept by the Cardinals just throws more water on this fire that they thought they had over the last couple of weeks, kind of feeling like they had something cooking. Problem is, they cook for a game and then they stink for a game and then they cook for another game and they lose 2 in a row, or in this case get swept. But as we're talking about pitchers, is anyone going to say John Lester? I mean, think about the amount of big game, not just wild card, but World Series experience this guy has now with the St. Louis Cardinals, and he's part of the reason why they swept the Mets.
Fun series coming in here in New York and taking these 3 games and you know, getting closer to that ultimate goal of getting to the playoffs. So hopefully we can keep this thing going and, you know, we go home for a quick one and back out on the road again. But hopefully we can continue to keep going.
Now, I know that he's not the same pitcher he was back with the Red Sox and then with the Cubs. But still, I believe experience counts for a lot, regardless of age. When you're staring at these hitters and you're feeling the pressure of a must-win game, you either win or you go home, as Robbie Ray said earlier. To me, the experience and the familiarity with those sensations and those emotions, that adrenaline, to me, that matters. So we're asking you, which pitchers would you put on the mound in a one-game must-win scenario, the wild card matchup, to get into the divisional round? Because we're back to that single wild card game format now for both the AL and the NL. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, lots of interesting answers, guys that I didn't think of. And we're going current players, by the way. You don't get to call on Nolan Ryan or any of the other pitchers that are now in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, no Curt Schilling in a bloody sock. That's not going to work here. No Randy Johnson, the big unit staring down from the mound with those eyeballs boring a hole into your head and the hair flying. No, it's got to be a current pitcher. But there are plenty to choose from. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, lots of answers coming in, and we'll get to those before the end of the hour. I promise. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Really quick note, and I want to say a congratulations, and then we'll move into what I teased last half hour. I don't know how many of you saw this, certainly in Milwaukee. Bucks fans or sports fans in the state of Wisconsin now know the news, but it did hit social media later on Wednesday afternoon. Lisa Byington is taking over as the TV play-by-play announcer for the Milwaukee Bucks in 21-22, so the upcoming season. She's the first female TV play-by-play announcer for a major pro sports team in this regular role. So, yes, we've seen women fill in on games. We've seen women do a handful of games here or there, and I think it's great. I always love to hear them, and it's wonderful that it's no longer considered strange or odd or weird. In fact, it's great that it's not even making headlines as much, but this definitely deserves a headline, and it deserves attention because she is the first full-time female play-by-play announcer on TV for any major pro sports team. So this is awesome. She's taking over for Jim Paschke, who's retiring, and then Ted Davis actually retiring too on the radio side. So they're going to have all new play-by-play announcers as they go into the season following their NBA title. So congratulations to Lisa, and she's been doing TV play-by-play for years now and building to this. So as a young woman who at 16 years old decided that my dream job is NBA play-by-play, and that dream still holds true, I am so excited for Lisa because I can imagine knowing the emotions that I would have and knowing the realization of that dream and what it would mean. I'm sure Lisa is feeling similar emotions over the past couple of days. She's probably known for a little bit. But to see all of the kudos on social media and how gracious she is and how excited she is about taking over for Jim and how deferential she is, recognizing the shoes that she has to fill. I'm so excited for her, but also grateful. And I sent her a message on Twitter just to say, well, message. I tweeted her. It's not a DM. It's not private. It's out there for you all to see. But I did send a tweet to her to say thank you, because every woman that blazes a new trail along this winding road for women in sports broadcasting, well, every woman that becomes a first or does something for the first time is making it easier for those of us who come along, right? And so I've been working on these play-by-play dreams for more than 20 years. I've been doing play-by-play since before I was even in sports talk radio. And ultimately, one day, I will have the same opportunity or a similar opportunity. And so I'm excited for Lisa, proud of the fact that we've got a female who is now a full-time play-by-play announcer for a regional TV network, and will have the opportunity to prove yet again what women can do when given these chances. As women, we do have to prove ourselves more than the men do. It's not something I'm bitter about. It's just the state of sports broadcasting. It's how it's always been since I got into it. I remember when I first went to college for communications and told everyone I wanted to work in sports radio and not TV, sports radio. I'm a radio junkie. My Well, my high school advisor said to me, you should have a backup plan. So make sure you study something else as well, because, you know, women don't do this. Well, women do it now, and we're not going away. And I'm proud of Lisa, and congratulations to her. And also congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks for making history. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, turning our attention to another area of women's sports that was highlighted on Wednesday. And there's part of me that is glad that USA Gymnastics and the abuse that occurred at the hands of longtime Dr. Larry Nassar is not a thing of the past. It's not forgotten. But there's also a part of me that is just so torn up over the revelations that we heard and the revelations that were exposed on Capitol Hill on Wednesday. So if you didn't hear about this, Simone Biles, Allie Raisman, two very high-profile gymnasts. But I think in the case of Simone Biles, is there a, forget gymnast, is there an athlete in the world right now that is more high profile because of what happened in Tokyo, because of the attention on her when she backed out of the team competition for her mental health, then turned around and did compete and won a bronze medal on the balance beam. Just considering where we are right now and on the heels of the Olympics in Tokyo, the fact that she was at the Met Gala and she's continued to kind of talk about where she is and the space that she's in. She's also thrown some shade at those critics of hers who would say that she's a quitter. I can't hear you over all my medals. And so she's kind of clapping back a little bit. And so I'm not sure there is a name right now in sports that resonates more around the world than Simone Biles. And so she was there on Capitol Hill, which I was surprised. I didn't know that she was going to be there at this hearing in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. But also Allie Raisman, who has told her story in the past about the abuse at the hands of Larry Nassar and the fact that USA Gymnastics, the former administration, did nothing to respond or to protect these young women when complaints were made. And now we find out that current and former FBI agents ignored the pleas, ignored the reports that were coming out of the world of gymnastics, and did nothing to investigate Larry Nassar in a timely fashion. Remember, he's the former doctor. He's now in jail. The former doctor who not only was working with Team USA, but also was working at Michigan State. And so there's been all kinds of people who, in the wake of his imprisonment, the revelations, the charges against him, the 120 gymnasts who've come out, there have been a lot of changes at Michigan State and a lot of people who have borne the brunt of allowing him to continue to do his work, even with the accusations and the allegations that were made against him. But it didn't stop at Michigan State. It also was permeating USA Gymnastics. And so now we're finding out that the FBI had received complaints, but did not move quickly. In fact, really considered it to be inconsequential or not important or whatever the reasons were. They dropped the ball. And so Larry Nassar was allowed to continue working with USA Gymnastics, despite the fact that there were reports about his abuse going back to the summer of 2015. So this comes from the Department of Justice. They've been investigating, of course. And so now this report has indicated that agents so badly botched the evidence and even lied to investigators about the mistakes they made. And because of that, young women, for years after the initial reports were made, young women were still being treated, quote unquote, by Larry Nassar, were still being abused by Larry Nassar because he was still allowed to work with USA Gymnastics. And so as you can imagine, here are these young women, some of them, And I love that they support one another, their strength in numbers. So it wasn't just one gymnast. It was a handful. It was a group of gymnasts who showed up there and who spoke emotionally, but who were able to support one another and say, hey, I'm here for you. You're not doing this alone. Simone Biles was one who spoke very emotional, as you can imagine. And she said, it truly feels like the FBI turned a blind eye to us, and this cannot happen again.
I don't want another young gymnast, Olympic athlete, or any individual to experience the horror that I and hundreds of others have endured before, during, and continuing to this day in the wake of the Larry Nassar abuse. To be clear, sorry.
Take your time.
To be clear, I blame Larry Nassar, and I also blame an entire system that enabled and perpetrated his abuse.
That's just one example of a brave young woman, in this case, Simone, who answered questions, who essentially had to relive all of that terror, all of that horror, all of those emotions. It's not as though it ever goes away, but to have to talk about it in a public forum. And then she even apologizes for breaking up, which I probably would have done the same. I think a lot of young women would do the same in that situation. But the bravery and the courage of these women to once again stare it in the face, talk about the details. Why? Well, as Simone outlines, so that another young generation of gymnasts or any athletes doesn't have to go through what they went through. And so I love that they, in their pain and in the suffering that will never end to some extent, they care about the next group of young women and they're standing up for them. They're protecting them even before it happens. According to Allie, she testified that it took more than a year for FBI agents to contact her after she filed a report about Nassar's sexual assault. So she was personally abused. After she filed her initial report to USA Gymnastics, it was a year before anyone contacted her. And during that time, Nassar was allowed to see patients. And during that time, dozens of young women and girls were sexually assaulted by him. And so, as I say, I'm torn because I'm glad that it's in the spotlight. The FBI needs to answer for why this happened. The FBI needs to pay. If there are current and former agents that can be identified, could there potentially be criminal charges that are filed here? How did this happen? How did this happen? But it's also gut-wrenching because you can't help but think about the number of young women who could have been protected, who could have been spared. There were others there, Mikhail Maroney, former USA gold medalist, and then another name that was very prominent during the Larry Nassar trial, Maggie Nichols. And she is identified as one of the first, if not the first, who brought the complaints against Nassar going all the way back to June of 2015. Now, the FBI director was also there on hand. And while you can imagine it kind of falls on deaf ears or it's too little too late, he did offer an apology. This is Christopher Wray.
I'm especially sorry that there were people at the FBI who had their own chance to stop this monster back in 2015 and failed. And that is inexcusable. It never should have happened, and we're doing everything in our power to make sure it never happens again.
He says, I'm deeply and profoundly sorry. And so it's a process of unraveling still. I'm glad that they're not shoving it under the rug. They need to figure out who was responsible, how that happened. But sadly, tragically, there's no way to go back and undo what has been done. But I am so proud of these young women. And I would say for those of you who criticize Simone Biles, maybe remember everything that she's dealing with. And every time she competes in gymnastics or practices in gymnastics, there must be these demons, these emotions, these ghosts. There's no way that you forget about that. What she loves the most is tied to the most painful memories, the most painful experiences. And so for any human being, there's a mental health struggle there. So we'll see what comes out of it. I hope that the ball is not dropped again. And I hope that there's enough public pressure, enough pressure from the media, because we are good for that, to make sure that the FBI has to answer for this and that the people who cannot be identified as having dropped the ball, that they're made not just to answer, but potentially to face charges of their own. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We came up short, bottom line. Obviously, we fought hard. We fought all the way to there to the end. That's a good football team we're playing. They got us by a field goal right there. We've got to be better situationally. In the red zone. Defense did a great job giving us chances when we didn't convert touchdowns or field goals and getting us the ball right back. They did an incredible job.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
How about that? Dak Prescott touting the defense. And certainly the defense did do well, better than what we saw from the Cowboys defense in 2020. The fact that they did force some turnovers against the Super Bowl champions, and it was a great game, right? A lot of attention on Dak Prescott, a lot of attention on Tom Brady, but those defenses deserve some credit as well. Although this was a rough Wednesday for the Dallas Cowboys defense, the worst possible news that they could hear, I feel like, maybe you would debate that, but I'm not sure it could get much worse than what they found out on Wednesday about an injury to DeMarcus Lawrence. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. No relation. Here's Ian Rappaport with the details on the NFL Network.
Frustrating day for the Dallas Cowboys defense, specifically their star pass rusher, DeMarcus Lawrence, who may have been, or certainly was, the best Cowboys defender on the field in the opener. He suffered a broken foot, a broken fifth metatarsal, during just a standard regular pass rush in practice, a freak accident for DeMarcus Lawrence, and he is going to have surgery, I'm told, expected back by November. So about a two-month recovery, which is standard for this kind of injury for DeMarcus Lawrence. And now, guys, the Cowboys have to go out on the field with a defense that everyone hoped would be a little bit better than last year, a little bit upgraded, without their best pass rusher, without their best defensive player. Just a significant blow that Dallas now must overcome if it wants to get in the win column.
That's Ian Rappaport on NFL Network. From that Tampa Bay game, it was quite the stat sheet for Tank Lawrence. 6 tackles, 2 QB pressures, and he forced a fumble. It was really impressive, by the way, the way that he forced the fumble. And while there were no sacks in that game against the Buccaneers, if you don't have DeMarcus Lawrence and you don't have Randy Gregory, so Gregory is in COVID protocols, Mike McCarthy not feeling super hopeful that he's going to be able to play against the Chargers coming up in week 2. Well, man, that's a mess. Then you're talking about, using different starters at defensive end, having to rotate different guys in as backups. And they need that defense to put pressure for sure on the Chargers. We're not talking about a quarterback as experienced as Tampa Bay, but still, we've seen what Justin Herbert can do with some time. And so that they'll rotate and they'll get after it. But this is a big blow. My thought, though, was that, yes, the standard for a broken foot is 6 to 8 weeks. But didn't we see Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson come back a lot more quickly than the standard 6 to 8 weeks? So they had their surgeries, and within 5 weeks, they were back out there on the field. So maybe because Lawrence is a world-class athlete and is going to have all the best support and, of course, the rehab that money can buy, maybe he's back out there more quickly than that. That would be great news for the Cowboys. It just sucks for them feeling like they finally had gotten on the right path defensively. He tweeted Wednesday, he will be back and ready. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Leonard, who's in Iowa. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Leonard.
Yes, this is Leonard?
Yes. No, this is Amy. You're Leonard, right?
I'm Leonard. No, I'm from Idaho. Yes, I didn't know if I heard. And it doesn't matter. I'm glad to be on. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
I was just a little late with you had me for last weekend. There was just a question to callers about what the NFL means to individuals. I grew up watching games, pretty much lots of games on the weekend, and didn't have much accessibility to watch games over several years. Where it's nice now, I got Fox and CBS. That's what I've got currently. Where those are broadcasting lots of games. So watching both doubleheaders last weekend, that was very nice. If anyone's listening, that'd be great to have every weekend. But however that works out.
I know, wouldn't that be nice? I don't. That's not the plan moving forward. But you know that ABC now carries the Monday night game, so you should be able to watch that one too.
Oh, okay. That's a good change. That's nice to have.
NBC carries the Thursday and Sunday night games.
Oh, that's continuously for both time slots. Wow, that's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, I think they move online. Is it next year, James, that they move online to Amazon? I think it's next year. Maybe it's the Thursday night game. But for now, you've got lots of network options.
That's good to know, right, yeah. And just, I heard you say earlier about your, before your shift, sort of what you had done instead of going out golfing, you mowed your yard and such.
I know. I'm so boring. I really am.
I was curious where today, I usually mow my yard at least on Thursday, if not on Saturday, and I mowed it today where it was that same sort of like, I'd rather do it now than later just for the sake of it.
Yes.
Easier to watch football or not to, you know, be this, you know, distracted and such. So.
Haha. Well, I wouldn't be distracted. I would just ignore the lawn. And then before you know it, it would be about 3 feet high. So
it grows.
Yeah, it does. Well, and we, in my neighborhood anyway, we've had so much rain, probably 25 inches of rain this summer that it's like a jungle. But I hope that your lawnmower was not smoking profusely like mine was at the end. I changed the oil recently and it's been doing a little smoking since then. So, you know.
Must be a leak of the oil somewhere. Just I don't know how you could diagnose that, but that's usually when you see that. That's the
great. Well, as long as it's still doing the job, I don't care. As long as it doesn't blow up, I'm good.
Right. Yes. Well, good luck in doing that continuously. Right. It's so hard to say how long one has to do it, but I enjoy it myself more than other chores. So.
All right, Leonard. I have a love-hate relationship with yard work. It's kind of like when I go running. I love it when it's done, and I love the end result. I just don't so much love doing it when I smell like grass and I'm sweating and blah.
Yeah, that's part and parcel with that, sure.
That's right, part of being a homeowner. All right, sir, good to talk to you. Have a great weekend in Idaho.
You as well. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye.
855-212-4227. So, did I not say clearly Leonard in Idaho? Sometimes I'm not sure the way that people come on the air callers, if I'm just not loud enough. No one's ever accused me of being too quiet in this job. Hello. Good morning.
I think he heard Leonard in Iowa, and I think that really
Iowa.
Threw him off.
Did I say Iowa?
I think he might have said Iowa.
Oh, can you go back to the tape and find out? If I did, Leonard, that is totally my fault. I thought I said Idaho because I was looking at Idaho on the screen. And so if I said Iowa, that is totally my fault, and I will apologize for that. But you know me, sometimes I think the right word, and for some reason the wrong word comes out of my big mouth. You know, talk for a living. It's a hazard of the job. So you've got our number on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. One game wild card, because we're staring at that scenario coming up. Who do you want on the mound to win a one game wild card in 2021? So no, you don't get to call on Pedro Martinez. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And of course, the rehab that money can buy. Maybe he's back out there more quickly than that. That would be great news for the Cowboys. It just sucks for them feeling like they finally had gotten on the right path defensively. He tweeted Wednesday he will be back and ready. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Leonard, who's in Iowa. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Okay, it's not like it's never happened again. I did, in fact, think one word. I swear to you, I looked at Idaho on the screen, and instead it came out Iowa. So I should have believed producer James when he said Iowa, but that's totally my fault, Leonard. I know that you're from Idaho. I don't know why I said Iowa. They don't look or sound anything alike. I will only chalk it up to it's hour number four, fourth show of the week. I don't have any excuses for myself, so please forgive me. That was totally my fault. You were right to say, wait a minute, me?
Are you there? No, are you there? I'm Leonard in Idaho. It's not, I'm so sorry. I'm an idiot too. All right, we're going to try to do this right. 855-212-4227. We did have a caller from Boise earlier in the show too, did we not? So that would have made two callers from Idaho, and somehow I biffed it. Tim is listening in Baltimore. Did I get that right?
You got it right, Amy.
Boom.
There you go. Good morning. Getting ready for the Big Bad Morning Show with Rob Long coming up here at 6 a.m., but I tune into you every morning.
It's just Rob, or is he flying solo today?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's with Jeremy Kahn.
That's what I thought.
The funny trio. But I love their morning show. I love your show as well. But I just wanted to call in. Before the season started, you know, I'm sitting here realistically thinking, hey, if the Baltimore Ravens can get through the first two games 1-1, I'd be happy. After that overtime loss to the Raiders, being decimated with the injuries that just keep coming for the Ravens, it could get very ugly in Baltimore Sunday night against the Kansas City Chiefs, and at that point they'd be 0-2. I don't see – the schedule gets a little bit easier, but long-term for the rest of the season, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. The offensive line, Villanueva was swallowed up whole Sunday night. Ronnie Stanley's moving a little slow. The secondary broke down, late in the game against Derek Carr. It's hard to be positive right now here in Baltimore, and I'm a devout Ravens fan, trust me.
A devout.
I'm nervous. I'm nervous. It can be really
I can understand being nervous, but maybe don't break your leg jumping off the bandwagon just yet. It's one game, and it went into overtime, and they did. So let's try to look at the other side of things. They did multiple times have the lead. I know they did not hold the lead, but they did have the lead. So in terms of the offense, yeah, there were three sacks, and yes, Lamar fumbled the ball. And so those sacks were painful, and that last one came at the worst possible time for them. But still, they had the lead multiple times and did put up, what was it, not 29, I forgot the number of points now. But they did score enough that they were able to have that lead in the fourth quarter. It was more the defense, to me, that kind of broke down there in that fourth quarter and put them in that position. But give credit to the Raiders as well. Yes, the injuries are painful, but I do think that if you look at the guys they brought in, Latavius Murray looked okay, had a touchdown. Tyson Williams, they seem to really like. I think the offensive line, like every offensive line that changes, needs a little time to gel. That was not an unfamiliar theme in week number one, Tim. It doesn't matter what team you're talking about, but staying in the AFC North, the Pittsburgh Steelers, their offensive line is trying to come together with lots of changes. The Dallas Cowboys, they're missing pieces off their offensive line. I could go on and on. There's no shortcut to chemistry and to consistency on the offensive line. They just have to play together, and so it's just going to take a little time. In the first month of the season, it's about a race to consistency. So no freaking out. And I would say this too. The Chiefs are also working on a new offensive line. And the Browns put up 29 on the Chiefs. It's not like they're not giving up points. That defense is not a lockdown defense. So the challenge to me is more about the Ravens defense versus Patrick Mahomes and all those weapons. The Browns offer a little bit of a prototype. They just kind of broke down there at the end, but that was a very competitive game. So I don't expect this to be a blowout. Just it's a bit of a work in progress, and part of it is because they were thrown a loop with those late injuries.
I'm with you. I agree 100% on everything you said. The other part I look at right now is, you know, in past recent years, you know, the AFC North opponents for the Ravens, you know, I'm not going to say cakewalk, but there's some guaranteed wins there. But I'll tell you what,
there's no such thing as a guaranteed win in the NFL, man. Did you see what happened in week number one?
I did. And I'll tell you what, I was very impressed by Pittsburgh's win over Buffalo on the road. And again, I was very impressed by Baker Mayfield and the Browns against the Chiefs. So, and Joe Burrow won in overtime. You know, you can't discount anybody in that AFC North. It's going to be a very tough division this year.
The Bengals
won your time.
You're welcome.
Have a great morning.
And I appreciate that. I guess, fine. I won't belabor the point, but wins are not a quarterback stat. Who kicked the ball in overtime? Was it Joe Burrow? I don't know. It's one of my pet peeves. The phrase hot takes. I can't stand the phrase hot takes. And I also can't stand the stat of quarterback wins. It's annoying to me. Why don't we keep wins for punters, kickers, offensive linemen?
Fine, I'll move on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, especially since I was already embarrassed and embarrassed myself earlier in this hour. Hey, here's a nerd alert. Are you ready? Nerd alert. N-E-R-D-A-L-E-R-T. Since 1990, so that's going back to kind of the format change. Since 1990, when teams start the season 2-0, they make the playoffs 63% of the time. All right, so we're talking about now what is a 30-plus year sample size. Nearly 63% of the time when a team starts out the season 2-0, they go on to compete in the postseason. How about this? When teams start out 1-1, they make the playoffs 42% of the time. All right, so no need to be jumping off the bandwagon yet. If your team is 2-0 or 1-1, well, you're in a good spot. I mean, 1-1, you're talking about 50-50, which makes sense because your record is 500. But even teams that start out 0-2, there's almost always at least one team from that group that makes the playoffs. And didn't we see a couple years ago, shoot, don't quote me on this, or maybe quote me on this if I'm right, but didn't the Texans start out 1-5 and make the playoffs? Something like that. Or maybe it's the Colts that started out 1-5. It's one of those AFC South teams. Maybe the Texans started out 0-3 and still made the playoffs, and the Colts were 1-5. I mean, crazier things have happened. So it's a long season. Now it's even longer with the 17th regular season game. But if you put yourself in a 2-0 situation, then you have a good shot. You've already done the yeoman's, well, not the yeoman's share of the work, but you've done 63% of the work. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us. A-Law Radio on Twitter, also on our Facebook page. We're asking you, in a one-game playoff that you must win, you win or you go home, what pitcher do you want on the mound in 2021? And based on his performance Wednesday night, we've had a fair number of votes for one Robbie Ray.
Runner at first, the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. A baker's dozen for Robbie Ray. 13 strikeouts through 7 superb innings from Robbie Ray. The Blue Jays have a 6-1 lead, and in downtown Toronto, it's time to stretch.
That is the call on the Blue Jays radio network. Let's throw into the mix. Not only did Robbie have 13 strikeouts in his 7 innings, but he also holds the Tampa Bay Bats to just a single run over that stretch. So he picks up his 12th win. We've had a good number of votes for Robbie Ray, but there are others as well. And what we're looking for is active pitchers, so current pitchers, not Nolan Ryan or, you know, any number of amazing Hall of Famers that you could dial up from the past. But looking at the answers on Twitter, Kent says this is easy. It's Mad Max. Max Scherzer still hurts that the Nats traded him. Cosmo agrees with Max Scherzer. But Jeff says, for my Blue Jays, who may have to play a play-in game to get into the wild card, he says he would put Robbie Ray in that wild card. Alex Manoa is who he would start in that play-in game if it works that way. Raul says Lance McCullers. Here's a vote for John Lester. I like the experience. He certainly has been on just about every big stage you possibly can in Major League Baseball. Another tweet, though, from Cardinals fan base Adam Wainwright, who is shown us some chops too. I just am so impressed with all the injuries that he has survived, and he continues to pitch and pitch as well. Adam Wainwright for breakfast, lunch, and dinner is the tweet. Let's see. Moses says the master of his craft, Jacob DeGrom. And then some of you are trying to go back to Bloody Sock days and Curt Schilling. That, my friends, is not fair. Adam on Twitter just sending us this one. Corbin Burnes of the Milwaukee Brewers, for sure. I think if not for Max Scherzer, and maybe still even with Max Scherzer, I don't vote for the National League Cy Young or the American League Cy Young, but there certainly is a push for Corbin Burnes as well. And if you look at his stats, the way that he has pitched this year is really impressive. So I don't know that you could go wrong with having Corbin on the mound. Right now his ERA is 2.25. Max is at 2.17. But if you're talking about some of the other categories like strikeouts, Corbin's in the top 5, as is Max Scherzer. There's some good candidates out there. I've seen Walker Buehler, who right now leads Major League Baseball in quality starts, and second to him is Robbie Ray. Number four on that list is Adam Wainwright. So Waino is having a resurgent season. Did see another tweet that I wanted to pass along too, actually. It came from Zach, and not only did he mention Corbin Burns, but he also mentioned Brandon Woodruff. Now, the Milwaukee Brewers are not likely to be in a play-in and then the wild card, but if you win the wild card, now, I don't think the Brewers are likely to end up starting right away, but let's just say for the sake of argument they were a wild card, it would be kind of a nice 1-2 punch to be able to throw, say, a Corbin in the wild card and then turn around in game one of your division series. If you win it, then you can throw Brandon Woodruff. I mean, it's a nice situation to have. Like the Dodgers, you couldn't go wrong with either Walker Buehler or Max Scherzer, but I think for me, I'm erring on the side of Max just because he has not lost since he's joined the Dodgers. He's been brilliant. And so I love the variety of answers. I actually wasn't expecting quite as many as we got. Chris Sale has gotten a fair number of mentions on our Facebook page as well. Bradley says he's listening to our show from New Hampshire and he would go with Chris Sale. John says Nathan Eovaldi. Let's see. I'm trying to see if I see any other ones. I wish Jacob DeGrom was an option. I feel like the Mets might be in much better shape if Jacob DeGrom had been an option over these last couple of months, but it's been tough with him. Also, Justin Verlander, no longer an option, though he is still an active pitcher in terms of his career. So, yeah. And get this. So, James, what do you think about this? Getting some votes for Gerrit Cole. Now, 2 years ago, I would have said it's a no-brainer, but how do you feel about Gerrit Cole now?
Right. Like a year ago or two, Gerrit Cole was my easy number one answer. But with the injuries in this season, just hasn't been the Gerrit Cole we're used to. So, I don't know. I like Scherzer more than Cole here.
You also mentioned Jacob deGrom earlier. Unfortunately, he's not available. I like this one from Tim. He says, Clayton Kershaw. There you go. I mean, if you actually have three answers from the Dodgers rotation, I think you're in pretty good shape. But we've seen Walker Buehler, Max Scherzer, and Clayton Kershaw, and they very well could end up hosting that wild card. All right, back tonight after football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.